Turn in your New Testaments, please, to John chapter 12, the Gospel of John chapter 12, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John chapter 12. We're going to look at verses 23 through 28. Well, before I begin the lesson, I just want to say how wonderful it has been to be with each of you. Thank you very, very much for your kindness and your hospitality shown towards myself and Muffy. And I hope that you get to meet Muffy, as you will see that she is much better than I. You'll like her better. But anyway, I'm glad that she's here. I want you to know something, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know everything. I'm studying the Word of God just like you are. And I know that we'll be judged based upon our understanding of Scripture. And I have said some very hard things to you. And I want you to know it's because I love you. I care about you. Some of the things that I have preached from this pulpit are things that I believe myself to be true. You're going to have to study those things and come to that understanding yourself. But I want you to know that I do it with a clear conscience. I'm trying to get you to study, to think. I'm trying to help you in your life to live joyously, to make it through this life, to navigate. I think it's very important for us to understand that God Almighty is with us. He's not off somewhere else. He's with us. And that really has been the theme of our lessons, the one less traveled by or the road less traveled by. We're trying to navigate life's defining moments. And tonight, in the last of this series, we're going to discuss life's greatest challenges. And so I hope that you will take what I have said and that you will consider these things and that you will go back to the text and look at it and determine what it is that Scripture is teaching us. And I hope that I have done so that you will be caused and moved to want to do that. There is one person standing between you and the life that God has planned for you. It's one person. This person gets in your way at almost every turn, tries to trip you up at virtually every opportunity. One person. And when you're right, this person oftentimes tells you, no, you're wrong. And when you're wrong, this person is likely to say, well, it's not your fault. You're the victim here. This person pretends to be your best friend, but often behaves more like your worst enemy, as I see it. Now, who is this person? I imagine that many of you have already guessed. I hope you have. It's the one that shows up in your selfies. Who is that? It's you. And it's me. More than anyone else or anything else, the one standing in the way of the life God has for you, that one standing in your way is you. And it's not just your weaknesses that stand in your way. They do. But it's also your strengths that stand in your way. And it's not just your desire to sin that stands in your way. It's also your desire to do good that stands in your way, if you can believe that. In order to live a productive, effective, abundant Christian life, you're going to have to deal with the man or the woman that you're looking at in the mirror. And not just once, but every day of your life. You're going to wake up in the morning, you're going to brush your teeth, and if you get older like me, you're going to take your pills, you're going to look at yourself in the mirror, you're going to shave, you're going to fix your hair, ladies. You're going to have to stand there and look at yourself. And as we work through this series called The Road, or The One Less Traveled By, when we've been looking at this series, we have been considering how to navigate. That's the theme. How do we navigate life's defining moments? These choices that determine the direction and the quality of our lives. So today, Adam says it's my fault. But I want you to know he's got tape around this. This has to be taped. Okay. Today, we're looking at life's greatest challenges, life's biggest hurdle, the biggest choice that you'll make on a day-by-day consistent basis. Our text is John chapter 12. Jesus is speaking some words here to his followers that sound like, to me, statements that he made at different times in the other Gospels. So this is a principle that the Lord, I believe, takes very seriously. So this story begins when a couple of Greek men, who probably heard Jesus, I suppose, whenever he was cleansing the temple. That must have been quite a sight. They came to Philip and they said, we would like to see Jesus. They wanted to see the Lord. And Philip told Andrew, and Andrew told Jesus, and Jesus said to his followers these words. He said, the hour has come, for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Let that rest on your brain for a minute. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No. It was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Now, some of Jesus' words here echo what is said in the gospel. For instance, in Luke's gospel, chapter 9, verse 23, and he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now, we've been talking a lot about being selfless, denying ourselves. And so, we should understand that the key word here is daily. Do you see that? If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Denying yourself, dying to yourself. This is the daily process. How many of you, ladies and gentlemen, have read Mere Christianity? If you haven't read it, you need to read it. It's very well written. C.S. Lewis has written this book. This is a quote from the book that I think is very good. The real problem of the Christian life comes where people do not usually look for it. It comes the very moment you wake up each morning. All your wishes and hopes for the day rush at you like wild animals. And the first job each morning consists simply in shoving them all back, in listening to that other voice, taking that other point of view, letting that other, larger, stronger life come flowing in, and so on all day. He's talking about dying to self. That's life's greatest challenge. Today, I hope you will look closely at Jesus' words so that we can go deeper into this idea of denying and dying to yourself. Now listen, I want you to remember tonight in this sermon two words, denying and dying. I want you to remember that, denying and dying. Say it to yourself, denying and dying. I want you to get that in your mind, okay? To deny and die to self. The power of God will come alive in your life if you will deny and die. I believe that. And the first thing I want you to see is before there can be a resurrection, there must be death. Before there can be a victory, there must be a battle. And I'll tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, life is full of battles. One battle after the next, one trial after the next, one disappointment after the next, one failure, one sorrow, one sickness. Jesus is saying, just like a kernel of wheat needs to die before it can produce seeds, we must do the same. He's not talking about physical death. Don't be confused. He's talking about total surrender to the will of God. Not my will, Father, but yours be done. Surrender. Jesus says anyone who loves their life will lose it. And anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Some people hear that and they say, wait a minute. What's he saying here? What? Do I have to hate my life? How can I do that? How can I hate my life? My life isn't perfect, but I can tell you one thing, I don't hate it. When Jesus spoke these words, he used something that's called an idiomatic phrase. You know what that is? An idiomatic phrase. That is, his listeners at that time would surely be able to understand this. He's talking about a comparison. Now, let me see if I can illustrate that. When you're driving down the highway and you're doing the speed limit, okay, you're driving 55. And all of a sudden, somebody flies by you at about 90. If you live in Houston, you know all about that. What you say is that he flew by me as though I was standing still. That's an idiomatic phrase. What does that mean? The truth is, you weren't standing still. It's a comparison of exaggeration. You get that? It's a comparison of exaggeration. So, if you love your life, and you love your dreams, and you love your ambitions, and you love your own comfortable whatever, and this matters the most to you, your dreams and your ambitions and your comfort level, more than anything else, then I am telling you that your life will unravel. It will fall apart. It will disintegrate. If you treat your life not as something to be grasped in a self-serving way, but as a gift, you can give of yourself to the service of God. You can give of yourself to the service of others. And you will discover then a life abundant. He's talking about who will be, look, who's on the throne in your life? Who's on the throne? You got to look at yourself in the mirror and ask that question. Who's on the throne in your life? Who's going to reign in your life? Who will sit at the head of the table today? The greatest challenge, ladies and gentlemen, that I face, I can't speak for you. The greatest challenge that I face every day is the challenge The question, who is your boss today? Who's calling the shots today? Every day, we must make it a point to pray to Almighty God, to pray this prayer that Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. And we just quoted it a second ago. That prayer simply is, not my will, but yours be done, Father. Not my will. I'm going to deny and I'm going to die. Deny and die. I'm going to deny what it is that the world is pushing me to do. I'm going to deny. I'm going to die to self and I'm going to live for you. This is where dying to oneself begins. And where does it lead? It leads to the resurrection power of Christ Jesus in your life. It leads to the fulfillment of a very important promise. The thief comes only to steal. The thief comes only to kill. The thief comes only to destroy. I have come that they might have life and that they might have it fully. In order to experience the resurrection power of God, you must be willing to die to yourself. Ladies and gentlemen, this is fundamental. It's foundational. And this is why Paul said, I have been crucified by Christ. It is no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. The life I live, listen to it, ladies and gentlemen, the life I live in the body, I live by the faith of who? By faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Not my will, Lord, but thine be done. I'm going to deny and die. Not my will, yours. Not my life, your life in me. To surrender yourself fully to God. And that brings me to the next layer. The next layer involved in dying to oneself. Being a fully devoted follower of Jesus means that we're called to tag along with him. Can I just tell you a little story right quick? Whenever I was about 5 years old, my papa was someone I just idolized. I lived in his house. He was a boilermaker. At Gulf Oil, he laid out steel. He could fix anything. He could do anything. And as a five-year-old, I would watch him. And I would want to emulate everything it was that he did. And I can remember that. And well, I got to tell you, he chewed tobacco. Snuff. And so he would walk out the door and he'd spit. And you know what I'd do? I'd walk right behind him and say, and then he'd wash his mouth out, and I'd get a glass, and I'd wash my mouth out. And then he would go to the garage, and he would pick up a hammer, or he'd pick up a screwdriver, or something like that. And I'd be right behind him, and I'd have my little tools and everything, and I would be working. I tagged along with him. I emulated him. Don't you see that? Don't you see that? I emulated him every day. We've got to learn to surrender ourselves. We've got to learn to be fully devoted. This is something that Jesus says that cannot be denied. Jesus says, really, in this passage that we've been looking at, you need to tag along with me. You need to emulate me. Too many times, ladies and gentlemen, I think we find ourselves asking Jesus whether or not he wants to tag along with us. Now, which shall it be? Jesus said something here that is impossible to ignore. Whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, my servant also will be. Where are you? Where are you, ladies and gentlemen? Are you with him? Are you tagging along with him?
Are you emulating him? This idea really comes down to a fundamental approach to living the Christian life. It's true.
God Almighty is always wherever you are because he's always everywhere. Okay?
That's true. Wherever you go, you can be sure that he is there. And this is why King David said this. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? You can't flee from God's presence because he is everywhere. And that includes everywhere you are.
Now, if you question that, just ask Jonah. Okay? Just ask Jonah. Go back and read the story of Jonah.
He is always with you. But here Jesus is talking about an attitude of submission. And I want to be sure that you understand this in this passage. It is an attitude of submission that he expects from his followers. He expects that from his brothers. He expects that from his sisters.
Now you remember the bumper sticker, God is your co-pilot. You remember that?
God is your co-pilot. How many of you remember that? You do, don't you? Right? Well, that's a nice sentiment and all that, but technically, I got to tell you something. He is not your co-pilot.
He is the pilot. He navigates. He flies the plane. He drives the boat. He drives the car. He is the pilot.
Now, you might be called maybe a first officer. You might be called the first mate. I'm talking specifically about having a desire in your heart that says, God, I want to do it your way. Because I'm going to deny and die. I want to do it your way. I'm going to do things your way. Wherever you are, that's where I want to be.
Now look, let me tell you something. Ain't nobody can put a gun to your head and make you have that sentiment. You have to desire to do that yourself. Now, remember what the old preacher said. When the preacher's pointing a finger at you, you've got three pointing back at him. Sometimes when I preach at Bel Air, people think I'm mad at them. I'm not mad at them. This is serious business. So I've got a serious face. I'm pointing a finger at you, but I've got three pointing back at me. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. This is so important. It's his itinerary, not yours. It's his calendar, not yours.
What's on his calendar?
Well, I don't know. How about the first day of the week? What's going to get in the way of that? That on your calendar?
I'm not sure it's on some folks' calendar. It's his playing field, not yours. There have been times in my preaching career when I came to the realization that God just couldn't bless what I was doing. And why is that? Because I was too far away from where he wanted me to be. There have been times when I couldn't hear his voice because I was out of range. When I say hear his voice, understand his providence in my life. And I think the reason why that is because I wasn't denying and dying. That it was more about me than it was about him. That it was more about my position in the company than it was about him. That it was more about my desires and my likes and my dislikes than about him. Let me tell you what I wanted. I wanted Jesus Christ to be my tag along. Maybe you haven't ever felt that. This is what Jesus says to me. I don't want to be your tag along. I want you on board with me. Dying to yourself means that there will be times when you have to let go of things that you think you want. Did you get that? There's going to be times you're going to have to let go of things you really believe you want and things that you want to embrace. What you need to do is embrace God's plan for your life.
You need to embrace God's strategy for your life. You have to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that He knows the way every day. And when you're able to do this, what is it you're going to discover? That's that next level of total surrender to God's will. That's how I see it, folks. John chapter 12, verse 26, where I am, my servant also will be. There will be a time in your life when you, like Jesus, must be able to say, for this reason, I came to this hour. We're supposed to emulate Him and reflect Him. All you believe that. Y'all all believe that. For this reason, I came to this hour. In John's gospel, we hear Jesus say that His soul is troubled because He knows the next steps in His journey. And He knows this isn't going to be easy. It's going to be tough. And in Matthew and in Mark and Luke, we see the same thing happen in the Garden of Gethsemane. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. And yet, He could not turn away, because I want you to see in verse 26, John 12, it was for this reason I came to this hour. There are two great moments in a person's life. If you hadn't gotten anything other than deny and die, I want you to get this. There are two great moments in a person's life. The moment you were born and the moment you realize why you were born. Why were you born? Why are you here? Why were you created? It is for a specific moment, a specific purpose that God has placed you here. He placed you here. And as you fulfill His plan for your life, there will be times when you face challenges that seem beyond what your strength can possibly bear. In no way. There will be times when your soul is troubled. You will be overwhelmed with sorrow. You're just not going to believe you're going to be able to make it. There will be times when you want to pray this prayer, the same one He prayed. Father, if it's possible, take this cup away from me. I don't want to have to deal with looking at my mama die right in front of me. I don't want to have to look at my daddy turn into an 8-year-old with Alzheimer's disease and all that. I don't want to deal with death. I don't want to deal with death, Father. My Father, if it's possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as You will. Because you will know in the deepest part of your being, it was for this reason I came to this hour. In other words, this is a defining moment for me, and this is the next step of obedience, which will determine my place in this world and my role in God's kingdom. I want you to notice that as Jesus approached the hour of His death, He didn't approach it with an attitude of defeat. Not in the least. But rather an attitude of victory. Victory. He didn't begin His speech or His sermon by saying, "The hour has come for me to be kicked to the curb, for me to be cast aside." No. Or the hour has come for me to be humiliated. No. Or the hour has come for me to be abandoned. No. This is what He said. He said the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. He knew what the hour was about. He knew what it would accomplish in terms of eternity. And believe you me, He knew how the story was going to end. And yes, He was troubled. Troubled that He must face the moment. But He knew the outcome. That death would be destroyed. He knew the outcome. That the grave would be conquered.
the curse of the law would be destroyed, the power of sin would be crippled, and God would be glorified. And he proclaimed with great confidence, it was for this reason that I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Our trials and our hardships are nothing compared to his. We must face life's defining moments with the same attitude that he faced his defining moments. For this reason, I came to this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Remember this, there can be no victory without a battle. And I'm telling you that the devil is taunting you right now. There could be no resurrection without death. If you want to experience God's resurrection power, you must recognize the fundamental truth of being his disciple. And this is it. When Christ calls a man, he calls him to deny and die. Just like what he had to do. Deny and die. That's what he calls you to. Are you ready to make that commitment? That's what Christians, look, this whole series has been about you and it's been about me. This hasn't been a series regarding the gospel of Jesus Christ and how it is that we are saved. I'd love to do that sometime, but that's not what this is about. Listen to me. Are you ready, Fayette Church, to make a commitment to God Almighty right now? This is your defining moment. When Christ calls a man, he calls him to deny and die. That person who's out to trip you up and to destroy your way of living that God has called you to live, there's only one way to deal with him. Deny and die. Die to self. You must die to everything that person stands for. If that's your boss, or if that's your mother, or if that's your father, or whatever. What was it that Jesus said? If you love father and mother more than me, you are not worthy of me. You got to deny and die. You got to put him up. He stands as the pilot. He is the commander. He is the king. The greatest challenge that you will ever face, as far as I'm concerned, that you will face every day of your life, every day that you look in the mirror, is who will I surrender to today? Will I surrender to self-centeredness, that self-centered side of me that has caused me to stumble more times than I can count, that has messed me up over and over and over again? Or will I surrender myself to the God of grace, to the God of mercy, to the God of love, who has promised me that I can have power, that I can overcome with power? He's promised his overcoming power. Any of you know this fellow? Jim Elliot was murdered on the mission field while serving in Central America. He was not a Christian. He was a religious man. And I understand that his wife watched him be murdered. But I like what he says. He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. When you turn your back on the way of life that will lead you nowhere, and you surrender yourself instead to Jesus Christ our Lord, you give up what you cannot keep
and you gain what you cannot lose. Do you understand?
It's a decision you make every day. We overcome life's challenges when we make it a daily habit to say, "Lord, not my will, but yours be done in my life." Look unto Jesus. Put your eye on him and say, "Father, glorify your name." Well, that's life's greatest challenge. It's not the devil. It's not financial issues. It's not family issues. It's you. And it's me. Who are you going to love? You going to love yourself? You going to love the Lord? And let me ask you, are you going to deny yourself? Are you going to die to self and follow him? That's up to you. I can't make you do it. Nobody here can make you do it. You got to look at the mirror in the morning every day, and you've got to look at your face, and you've got to ask yourself the question, will I live for him? Or will I live for myself? Do I love the world more than I love my Savior? That's the question. And it has eternal consequences. Are you subject to the gospel invitation this evening? If you are, why do you wait, dear brother? Why do you tarry so long? Your Savior is longing to help you, to keep you, to save you. Why wait? Obey the gospel. If you have not been living your life for Jesus Christ and you've been acting just as selfish as you can be, and you've been coming up in here to this building 3 times a week acting like that you got this Christian thing down, when you're acting like a reprobate, then you need to straighten that out. Else I don't know why you're here. Leave. Jesus loves you. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. He died for you. Won't you live for him? If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, won't you come as we stand and sing?